The Holy Gospel is recorded in the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the first verse. These 11 verses from Luke's Gospel will serve as the basis for our sermon this morning. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As mentioned before, the text for our meditation this morning is the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. I just call attention to a couple verses in here. In the middle of those verses, we are told when Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. In Christ Jesus, dear friends, why? There's a question that we ask a lot. Why? If there's some disaster, some terrible tragedy, like let's say a shooting, school, some other place, what's one of the first questions that's asked? Why? Why did the person do such a terrible thing? What was going through his mind? And what has taken place in his life that would move him to do such a thing? But it isn't just tragedies for which we ask the question, why? We ask it a lot. Certainly in this area, around Washington, half of the country is always asking, why? Why are they doing that? Why aren't they doing that? Why are they talking the way they are? Why? What's going on? What's the motive and the reason that they are talking the way they do? And of course, even in our families, a child does something naughty, parents ask, why? And children certainly aren't afraid to ask that question of their parents, why are you doing that? So this morning, perhaps we can get a little bit deeper into what Luke reports from Jesus' ministry, when he called his disciples to follow him. and look at the miracle that accompanied that and ask the question, why? Why did Jesus perform that miracle of the catching of fish? What was his purpose? What was his motive behind it? Now, of course, I'm sure all of you have learned at one time or another that all of Jesus' miracles point to his divine nature. That every one of his miracles, whether it's the changing of water to wine at Canaan, or whether it's raising somebody from the dead, they all proclaimed, here is the Son of God in your midst. Here is one who, though he has taken on human flesh, he is the Son of God. And surely, that miracle had that effect on the people in our text as well. If that catch of fish hadn't shouted to everyone who saw it, this Jesus is more than appears that at first appearance. He is more than just a man. He's more than even a great man or a teacher. He is God's Son come down to this earth. Otherwise, why would Peter, when he gets on shore, fall before Jesus and say, depart from me. Get away from me, Jesus. What would move him to say something like that? Jesus, leave my presence? Go away from me? Actually, Peter realized who was standing before him. That miracle made an impression on him. And he knew who Jesus was. And his power and his majesty, covered up as it was in lowly flesh, told Peter, this is the holy God. And sinners can't stand in the presence of the holy God. If God were to appear before us in his majesty and his holiness, we would have the same reaction. We would shield our eyes and back away and hope that that vision of God would leave us. The prophet Isaiah, when he was called to serve, did the same thing. When he saw the majesty of God and heard the angels proclaiming his holiness, he said, I'm a dead man. I am lost. I am going to perish right here on the spot. That is the reaction of sinners when they stand before the holy God. And Jesus' miracle certainly had that impression on Peter. But I don't think Jesus was there doing that miracle in order to terrify Peter or his disciples. In fact, he said as much. He said, don't be afraid. I haven't come to destroy. I've come to give life. That's my purpose. And so Jesus performed his miracle. But there's a little bit more to it than that. Surely, Jesus performs his miracle, we are told, after he had spent time teaching a crowd that was gathered around him on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Luke calls it the Lake of Gennesaret. You and I would have called it a lake as well. It's not really that large, but for us it goes by the familiar name, the Sea of Galilee. And the crowd was listening to him, we are told, as he preached to them. Why did the crowd gather? What brought them to the shores of the sea that morning? Did they just happen to be passing by? We aren't told that Jesus had regularly scheduled services on the shore. What brought them? We are told in other places in the Gospels that it was the miracles of Jesus that attracted a lot of people. Some came just to hear him preach, and they were amazed at what he had to say. But others were attracted by the miracles, and their curiosity moved them. They wanted to see more of these spectacular events. It's kind of like you and I might do. Doing something that will attract people. Maybe having some kind of event to which you invite the community in order that they might see the church that is here, get used to some of the people that are here, and give you a chance to invite them to come and hear what the Lord has to say to them. The miracles served that purpose. They drew people in order that Jesus might teach. And what did he teach them when he had them there? Well, the gospel writers summarized Jesus' message by saying, he said, repent and believe the gospel. That was Jesus' mission. That was his ministry. Repent. Acknowledge your own sinfulness. Acknowledge that you have failed to live up to God's will and that you don't deserve anything from God in this life or in the life to come. But believe the good news. Jesus had good news. The news that God had sent his Son not to terrify them, but to proclaim his love. His willingness to go to take great steps in order to save them, that they might be with them for all eternity. Jesus had a message of life. In fact, he said in the Gospel of John, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. That was Jesus' message. I have come to bring you life in this world and in the world to come. And so Jesus used the opportunity, his reputation as a miracle worker, in order to preach and proclaim his message. But what about his message to the disciples? We are told that after he was finished with his preaching, after he had said amen, then he turned to Peter. They were both in the boat already. And he said, let's go out into the deep water and catch some fish. Jesus wasn't a fisherman by trade, but he wasn't just doing it to entertain himself. He had a purpose in mind. Peter says, well, we can do it if you want. But we've been out there all night. There just aren't any fish in the area right now. It's going to be a vain endeavor. But if you say so, I'll do it. Now there is a model for you and me. A lot of times we don't understand why God tells us do this or don't do that. And yet, if he says it in his word, a child of faith says, okay, I'll do it. If you say so, if your word proclaims it, then it must be good for me and I will do it. Peter had already come to know Jesus as his Savior. He originally followed John the Baptist, and the Baptist had pointed to Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Peter had gone with his brother and his partners, and they knew who Jesus was. They were following him. And so when Jesus speaks, he says, okay, I'll go. He never expected to happen what did happen. so much that he was filled with terror at Jesus' power. But Jesus says, no, that's not why I did this miracle. I did it so that you might see my power and authority, not to terrify you, but to send you, because that's what I have in mind. I am calling you now, not just to believe in me. I am calling you to leave your nets and to leave your boats and to come and follow me full time, because I have a lot to say to you. I have a lot to teach you. And then I'm going to send you out. And you're going to catch, not fish, you're going to catch men. You're going to catch people. You're going to catch them for me with the power, not of a net, but of the gospel, which is going to draw them in order that they might be mine forever. That's the task I have for you. What mercy and compassion Jesus shows. He's not satisfied just preaching to some people on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He wants you and me, 2,100 years later, to hear the same message. He wants us to know what God has accomplished through his Son, both in his life and his death. He wants us to be part of his eternal kingdom. And so he calls disciples. He establishes the first seminary where he trains them to be his apostles that he sends out to proclaim to the world and to record his word in order that people may learn it and proclaim it for centuries to come. That is the Lord's love and compassion to you and me, that we might not dwell in darkness and ignorance, but might share with that crowd on the shores of the sea, that we too might hear the message. Repent and believe the good news, that you might be mine, Jesus says, for all eternity. Amen.